Hare Krishna. Yeah, please be very careful in this heat. Dehydration. Keep on drinking water. Heat stroke is quite possible. It's not pleasant, especially for older people. The heat can be quite dangerous. Keep your head covered when you're outside, especially those with shaved heads. Continuing a discussion of preparation for Vanaprastha life, reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's from the purport by Srila Prabhupada to chapter 13, texts 8 to 12. Srila Prabhupada writes, "As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection, but when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjuna did. Arjuna did not want to kill his family members, but when he understood that these family members were impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life, because in this world, one can never be fully happy or fully miserable." Yeah, continuing discussion of preparation for Vanaprastha life. This topic is especially meant for devotees who are very serious, who are fixed on attaining Krishna consciousness as the goal of their life. So if you are flaky and hypersensitive and don't really want to surrender to Krishna, then you might be upset by some of the things that will be discussed in this talk. I warned you. You're welcome to leave now if you like. Krishna consciousness is very sweet and very blissful. As Srila Prabhupada says here, it's very easy. We just sung that Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, the most merciful avatars, their process is simply blissful. But there's a condition also, which Srila Prabhupada discusses when he explains this song. Bishaya charya shirashe majya mukhe bolo hari hari. Bishaya, giving up sense gratification, becoming absorbed in bhakti ras and chanting the holy names. We hear a lot about becoming absorbed in bhakti rasa. We hear a lot about chanting the holy names, but we don't hear much about giving up sense gratification, but that is a precondition. One cannot be Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious, as Srila Prabhupada uses that term in this quote which I just gave, just spoke on. One cannot be fully Krishna conscious as long as one is trying to enjoy this material world. So Krishna consciousness is very sweet, very blissful, no doubt about it. But there is what we could call a tough side to it also. Giving up sense gratification is not easy when we are accustomed to it for millions, billions, trillions, there's no number of lifetimes. We can't enumerate it. We might imagine how many atoms there are in the universe. We've taken more births than that. It's inconceivable. So we're addicted to sense gratification, just like the worm in stool. If you remove a worm from stool, he'll be very indignant and disturbed and will crawl back as quickly as he can. So we should instruct the worm that this is not, you're a jiva, you're not meant for this. But the jiva in the body of a worm cannot understand this. The jiva in the body of a human can understand this. Not everyone. Not everyone's ready to listen to this. Many people like to chant Hare Krishna, but they don't like to listen to this. But this toughness, to get to the full sweetness, we have to go through this difficult process of giving up sense gratification, which isn't difficult by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it is difficult if we keep on hanging on. That's one kind of torturous way to kill someone. I don't think you're thinking of how to kill people in torturous ways, but one way is to tie one part of the body to one horse, another part of the body to another horse, and then whip them to run in the opposite directions, and then tear the body up, or you can tear the arms off. So if we come to Krishna consciousness, but we're still hanging on to the prospect of sense gratification, it's like putting ourselves into such a torture, that we're putting ourselves into such a situation where we're pulled both ways. So it makes sense to give up sense gratification. An essential part of that is, as I discussed in the previous talk about this, is accepting a life of renunciation. A life which is specifically meant for renunciation. Now here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, if one can mold his life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. However, as discussed in the previous talk, even if we are practicing Krishna consciousness at home, the tendency to be attached to whatever we have is a material attachment, and that we might experience when we try to give it up. Even Srila Prabhupada, who is a Nitya Siddha Mahapurush from the spiritual world, expressed difficulty in giving up his family life, in accepting sannyas. Of course, we understand when such exalted devotees express such feelings that is instructive for us. I was talking to a disciple yesterday who himself, last time I saw him here, which was a few years ago, was expressing that now I'm getting older, now it's time to think about vanaprastha life. And he came to me again yesterday and said, yeah, I started to make some efforts, but it wasn't so easy. Things which I thought I was not attached to, I discovered I am attached to. And even philosophically, we understand it's ridiculous to be attached to whatever it may be. But that attachment is difficult to give up. Srila Prabhupada in one purport says that even a sannyasi can be attached to what he, if he has a tiny little cottage, maybe a begging bowl, he becomes attached to that. And in this regard, there is the narration of Devadas, the servant of Ramanujacharya. Is that the right name, Devadas? I believe so. A householder. And the renounced disciples, the non-householders, the celibate disciples of Ramanuja, who Ramanuja, he once had Devadas go and, no, he had his renounced, no, there are two things. He had his renounced, first of all, he had Devadas secretly mess up and steal and tear the kopins, the what we used to call Brahmin underwear, of the renunciants at night. So when they got up one morning, they were it's all thrown here and there, and they're all upset. And wow, that's my kopin, and what are you doing? Who's doing this? They're very upset. And then a few nights later, the wife of Devadas, renounced disciple come and steal her ornaments, which she was wearing at night. She was lying on her side, and one disciple, on the order of Ramanuja, he couldn't understand why, but on the order of Ramanuja, he said, well, the Guru said I should do it. He came in the darkness. Devadas was still with Ramanuja at that time. He hadn't come back. It was late. He came in the darkness. It's not the thing that a renounced devotee would usually do, but on the order of Ramanuja, he did. The woman was lying on her side, and he very quietly removed her ornaments. And then she turned in her sleep, and he became afraid and ran away. He was afraid he was going to get caught. So then Devadas came back, and she said to him, something very unusual happened. One of our guru's renounced disciples came and started to remove my ornaments. He removed them from one side, and when I rolled to the other side so he could take the rest of them, he ran away. And Devadas chastised her. What? You should have given them all to him. Why are you holding on? You're just attached. So then Ramanuja, the next morning, he had Devadas recite what had happened before all his renounced disciples. You got upset over a few pieces of cloth, and here are all these valuable ornaments with these attached householders. They're more detached than you are. That was one lesson. So it's not necessarily that simply by accepting sannyas one becomes detached. But it is an ashram which is meant for fostering detachment. It is an ashram means it's not just a change of cloth, and it's not just a change of consciousness, but it's a change of one's whole mode of living, which fosters detachment. And we may say, well, what do you need to be detached for? You just have to love Krishna. What's the use of all these rules? You just love Krishna. But as, well, there's so many statements in Bhagavatam and elsewhere about vairagya for devotees, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has famously described the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, beginning with the word vairagya, vairagya vidyanija bhakti yogam shikshartam ekam purusha purana shri krishna chaitanya sharira dhari kripam buddhi yastamaham prabhadye. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, I surrender to that ocean of mercy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come to teach. He descended in this world to teach devotion to himself, which is enriched with or embellished with or characterized by vairagya, renunciation, and vidya, knowledge. The nature of grihastha life is that it tends to cover one's knowledge, spiritual knowledge, by fostering attachment. It's grihastha ashram in which one is cultivating Krishna consciousness, but the very nature of the ashram is that it fosters attachment. So Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Pancha Shaurdvang Vanang Vrajet. When one is above the age of 50, or as Srila Prabhupada translated it, when one reaches the age of 50, one should renounce. Srila Prabhupada, he himself followed this. He stayed exactly when he renounced, it's hard to say, because practically he was out of his family. Unofficially, not officially vanaprastha. He was away from his family for long periods, and then eventually he accepted sannyas. Referring, when he was discussing, it's hard to say exactly when he renounced. Of course, Srila Prabhupada has always renounced from material enjoyment, but when he retired from family life, he said that when he was discussing his endeavor with the League of Devotees in Jhansi, he said, in 1950, I retired practically. Not retired, but a little in touch with business, whatever is going on. Then in 1954, I gave up connection with my family. So Srila Prabhupada appeared in this world in 1896. So a little over the age of 50, he retired from family life. And then 1954, he gave up connection with his family. That was the tea or me incident. Of course, it was stated in Bengali, so it wouldn't rhyme so nicely. But we can see, a little over age of 50, Srila Prabhupada, he eventually came to Vrindavan to, if anyone took any interest in him, which no one in particular did at that time, took any special interest in him, he could be seen as a lonely man emerging from the wreckage of his family life. But he was meant to serve a much bigger purpose than serving his family members, who never valued his service, even materially. And they were not interested in his spiritual contribution. And Srila Prabhupada, from his instructions, we can see he wanted others to follow in his footsteps, that when they reach the age when their family members, at least the oldest son, is old enough to look after the family, it's time to withdraw and do something bigger than simply working to maintain a family. One of Srila Prabhupada's first Indian disciples was Pranav Gupta. He and his wife joined Srila Prabhupada very early in the mission in India, at a time when very few Indians were joining. And he wasn't someone coming to fill his belly, which became particularly common when the Bangladesh Liberation War, as it's called, in the wake of that 1971, literally hundreds of thousands of Bangladeshi, well, they weren't Bangladeshis at that time, they were Pakistanis. Pakistani refugees arrived in West Bengal, and some of them found refuge at ISKCON Mayapur. So they were devotees, but they were joining with at least as much motive to fill their belly and have a roof over their heads as to chant Hare Krishna. But Pranav, anyone who knows anything about Indian day-to-day life, especially North India, knows that Gupta, they're what is called a forward caste, and they are generally fairly well-to-do, or at least solvent. So Pranav, he was from what you could call a good background materially. And on Srila Prabhupada's instruction, he helped the devotees when they had nothing. They were trying to help to develop that center in Vrindavan. And it was very austere in so many ways, so many struggles, so many difficulties. And he must have been repeatedly told by others, why are you associating with these mlechas? Why are you helping them? That would come from people in general, and what to speak of his broader family members. So he really sacrificed a lot. But Prabhupada wanted more from him because he was an older man, and Srila Prabhupada repeatedly pressured him that you should leave your wife, who was also a devotee and also a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And eventually poor Pranav couldn't take it and he withdrew. Sneha Parshamimang Chindhi Dhirang Pandashu Vrishnishu. Who said that from Srimad Bhagavatam? Kunti Devi. Who are her relatives? What is she? I should translate what it means. It means, please break the bond, cut the bond of attachment to her family members. Who are her family members? You ever heard of Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakul, Sahadev? They're the sons of Kunti. And on her father's side, there's the Vrishnis, Dridang Pandashu Vrishnishu. Vrishnishu. On the father's side, there are the Vrishnis, who are all devotees of Krishna. But even she is praying that she feels I'm attached in a material way. Again, we can't draw conclusions about highly elevated, pure devotees. But it's a lesson for us. We may think that, well, my family members are all devotees, but there's a lesson there. It's good, as Srila Prabhupada, it's superb. It's if one is living in the family and is actually chanting morning and evening together with the family members, chanting the holy names, studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, training the members of the family to worship at home, to only take Krishna prasad. But that's not very common, even among our so many initiated Grihastha devotees. How many Grihastha devotees are present here who every day, morning and evening, assemble with their family members and chant and discuss Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita? One is there. I saw one hand tentatively go up. Once I was in Delhi, in one of the several ISKCON centers there, and maybe 150 devotees present, mostly Grihasthas, congregational. So I asked, how many of you rise daily 4 o'clock in the morning, as Prabhupada said, all my disciples should rise by 4 a.m. daily, and have Mangalati at home? Two hands went up. I was making the point that, this city life is not conducive for Krishna consciousness. Even if you're all serious enough to come to listen to my talk on a Sunday, which is the day when people like to sleep and waste their time in different ways to the way they waste their time 6 days a week. It's 6 days a week in India, not just 5 days a week. So they're devotees, and many of them initiated, but as I said, you see, hardly anyone can even do it. And then someone told me, these two, they're retired, so they can do it. But we can't do it because people work until late. So even if we are in an ideal situation, which is in our family life, ideal in the sense that we rise early every morning, we chant with the devotees, with the family members, we have sufficient time for all this, and the family members are cooperative, but still, Sneha Parshame Mang Chindhi, Kunti Devi says that she's praying that I have material attachments. I want to go beyond that. She's praying to Krishna to help her go beyond that. So there comes a time to go higher when we're practicing Krishna consciousness at home, but still we're involved in so many things. Family life means so many different distractions, which if we do it all in Krishna's service, it can all be considered Krishna's service. If we do everything for Krishna, if we conduct our family life in the service of Krishna, it can all be considered devotional service. But that's called gona devotional service, or secondary, on the level of brushing one's teeth. Brushing one's teeth is also devotional service if one is doing so to maintain the body for Krishna's service. But it doesn't mean that by brushing your teeth you're going to become Krishna conscious. You become Krishna conscious by the direct methods of Shravanam, Kirtanam, and you know the rest, and associating with devotees. Direct methods of devotional service. So there are many distractions which can also be considered devotional service if the aim is to engage the family members in Krishna's service. But it is a distraction. Therefore, we find Vyasadeva in Mahabharata stating, when the household sees wrinkles on his body, gray hair on his head, and when he sees the children of his children, now remember, in Varnashram society, we can expect the men to be married by latest age 25. So that would again come to the age of 50. When one sees the children of one's own children, he should retire and go to the forest. The third part of his life, that means from age 50 to 75 years, he should pass in the observance of the Vanaprastha mode. Now, another quote, this is from Srila Prabhupada's purport too, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 16, text 130. Srila Prabhupada is discussing Kshetra Sannyas, which means to live in a detached way, staying in one holy place. Srila Prabhupada writes, when one takes Kshetra Sannyas, he leaves his household life and goes to a place of pilgrimage devoted to Lord Vishnu. Such places include Purushottam, Jagannath Puri, Navarid Dham, and Mathura Dham. Such places include Purushottam, Jagannath Puri, Navarid Dham, and Mathura Dham. The Kshetra Sannyasi lives in these places alone or with his family. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers Kshetra Sannyas to be the preferable Vanaprastha situation in this age of Kali. So as I stated in the previous session, there are several devotees present here who have honorably and admirably conducted their family life, but now they're getting older. Hairs on the head are becoming gray. Wrinkles are appearing on the body. One should start to think of the next phase of life. And of course, not just present here, but there are so many all over the world. As one grows older, one should be consciously preparing for renunciation. It might happen just like that, but generally it doesn't. Generally one has to prepare oneself. And the preparation, when does the preparation for renunciation go on? From the time of marriage? Before that. Even before one is married, if one is trained as a brahmachari, one will enter into family life for the sake of dharma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, dharma smarya, tokon dharma smarya grihini kor. At that time I accepted remembering my dharmic responsibility. Grahanna karela mami. I accepted the hand of a wife in marriage. This is religious marriage. It's for the sake of discharging duties, not for sense gratification. So even before marriage, if one is trained in that consciousness, and then during the time of marriage, one acts responsibly, but as we read previously, one should, even in family life, should cultivate a sense of detachment. Not that one should whimsically give up one's family life, but at this specifically at the time when one is older, understanding that the same wife who helped him in his family affairs and who helped him advance in Krishna consciousness for many years can now become an obstacle in one's spiritual advancement. If one's duty of begetting children and raising them in Krishna consciousness is finished, then to be attached to the wife becomes an obstacle. It's not her fault. She continues to do her duty. But the man's attitude to water needs to change from being my sahadharmani, the one with whom I perform my religious activities, an attitude of detachment. So we may say, well, sounds like a bit much. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're following the principles. If you're actually doing so, well done. You're doing very well. Devotees, even the most neophyte devotees, are much better than non-devotees. It's day and night difference. But Prabhupada, he pushed for more. He was pushing us to become pure devotees, to utilize the human form of life in such a way that we don't get born again. Turnam yateta napatet anumritya yavat nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvata syat. Well, I can say the whole verse. Labdva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavanti manusham artadam anityam api hadira. Having attained the rare human form of life, knowing that it is very valuable for spiritual cultivation, but very rarely attained, one should quickly do, without delay, do whatever is required so that one hasn't to be born again, knowing that death is coming soon. And sense gratification, I've already enjoyed it in uncountable lives, and it's there waiting for me right now and in future lives, but now I should just forget all of that. That's why Srila Prabhupada came to this world. He didn't come to this world specifically to make us feel happy in material life and chant Hare Krishna also. He came to teach us to chant Hare Krishna and understand that material life is not happy. And that if we're trying to be happy in material life, our chanting of Hare Krishna will not come to fruition. What is the fruition? Love of Krishna. Bahu janma kare jadi shrabarn kirtan tabuta napai Krishna pade premadan. We can chant Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes and not attain love of Krishna if we remain attached in material existence and thus commit offenses against the holy name. So we can retire. Most people retire at some point. Not everyone. Some people just go on working, especially if they're villagers. They don't retire. They just go on working until their body is no longer strong enough to do. So you can retire and you can continue staying at home with your wife in comfort and do some extra chanting and service, and that's millions of times better than being an attached materialist. Millions, trillions, zillions. But once the children are grown, there's no real reason to stay in the prison of family life. Maituna agra, that term is used. Srila Prabhupada quotes that in Bhagavad Gita as it is purport. The shackles of sex life. We're saying, well, we're old. We're not engaged in sex life. But the whole idea, the whole concept of home, it's an extension of sex life, the family home, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pungsastriya Mittani Bhavametam Tayaraho Hridaya Grantima Huhu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitair Janasya Moho Yamahammameti. One thinks in illusion, in terms of I, me, and mine. This illusion becomes very prominent in the attraction between male and female. And when male and female unite, then that attraction becomes very strong, a very strong knot on the heart. And from that comes the sense of I, me, and mine, my wife, well, first of all, my body, my wife, my home, my country, my property, my bank balance, my relatives, my friends, my enemies, I, me, and mine. Deha patya kala tra deshu atma sanyeshva satsvapi. Tesham nidhanam. What is it? Tesham nidhanam. Tesham pramatta nidhanam. Pashanapina pashati. Yeah, this is the situation. When we're surrounded by friends, relatives, children, wife, all these things, we become blind to what we really need to understand, which is Atma Tattva. And you say, well, I'm reading Prabhupada's books. But then again, the question comes, then what are you doing in your home? What's the purpose? What are you doing there? This Deha Patya Kalatra Deshu verse, Shukadeva Goswami said to Parikshit Maharaj, who had already left home for the sake of spiritual realization. But he said it anyway, because Maya is so strong. Sometimes it happens. A man leaves home for the sake of renunciation, and then he goes back. And he justifies it. We're expert at justifying all kinds of things, which actually the reason is that we are not as Krishna conscious as we would like others to think ourselves to be. There used to be a time, and it's still there to some extent, when pious Hindus, many of them, would just naturally think, now I am older, I should retire. And even young men, even many young men, it used to be more so that a young man, even a child, we see Narottam Das, practically in his childhood, he ran away from home. There are many examples. Once I was in Burma, and I went to a place where there was no Krishna conscious movement in Burma at that time, and I went to a place where a town where the Krishna consciousness, the ISKCON and Prabhupada, and it was hardly known at all. And I was lodged in the house of a pious man who, he must have been around 50 years old. Pious, typical pious Hindu. And he was very happy to receive me. And I spoke to him, and he knew English, which not very common at the time, so I was carrying one book to read on my travels, but I left it with him. We didn't have all these devices at that time. If you want to read a book, you have to carry a physical book. I left it with him, and after some time, a letter came to Los Angeles saying that now I read the book, and I'm older, my family has grown up and they can look after the business, and I want to take sannyas. So he didn't know that in ISKCON we have so many procedures for accepting sannyas, but the consciousness came in him that now it's time for me to retire from family life for the sake of spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada stated, I'll read it again, this shocking statement. It may be shocking, it may be very disturbing. Srila Prabhupada writes, I read it last time, in Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, Text 2, purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should be very much ashamed of remaining a householder and not promoting oneself to the two higher stages, namely vanaprastha and sannyas. One should be very much ashamed. Yeah, it's not easy what do you feel when you read this? If you're living at home and you're 45 years old, 50 years old, what do you feel? Well, you should feel Prabhupada's mercy on me, but it's hard, no doubt. But That's what Srila Prabhupada states, and he definitely means it. We can congratulate ourselves that, yes, I've lived a good religious life chanting Hare Krishna. Or we can congratulate ourselves on what we're doing and what we've done, or we can be ashamed of what we're not doing. And Srila Prabhupada is pushing us to do more. Why ashamed? Why the word ashamed? It's a heavy word. I said this would be heavy, this talk. It is, no doubt. Why should one be ashamed? Should be ashamed because he's expected to set a better standard. Someone who's been reading Bhagavatam all his life, who's supposed to be cultivating Krishna consciousness, which is supposed to attach us to Krishna and concomitantly detach us from everything else. That's the definition, one definition of bhakti. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyatra. Bhakti means attachment to and experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and concomitantly detachment from everything else. And one may say, but my wife, she's a very good devotee. She's a pure devotee. How can I leave her? Well, she may be a pure devotee. She's also the one who, performing her religious duties, gave you home comfort all these years. In many cases, the wife helps the man to remain steady in Krishna consciousness. But after all, it is the nature of woman, stri, that the nature that comes with the body. The nature is to want home, family, children, comfort, and all these things. So she who helped you at one stage, now you have to go up. When you were in the stage of life when the body is young, there are so many desires for sense gratification. The woman may help to provide that within a religious format, so that one does not fall into grossly sinful life. But now you have to go beyond simply the stage of maintenance, maintaining one's Krishna consciousness. And in that situation, the home and even the wife, who may be a pure devotee, but you have seen her all these years as your partner in executing religious duties, no doubt, but also your partner in expanding your field of sense gratification, which you now have to give up if you're going to go back to Godhead. If she's really a pure devotee, she will push you out of the door. Enough is enough. Srila Prabhupada writes about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Did I make a note of that? No, I don't think I did. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada writes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at a young age, he accepted sannyas. And naturally, the woman, the mother, doesn't like that. But Srila Prabhupada said that mother is called Ma. Ma, Mata, Ma. But if the mother does not push the son to go out of home to search for Krishna, then Ma means Maya. She's Maya. That's for a young man. But especially for an older man. Akrura says to Dhritarashtra, we know very well the story of Dhritarashtra in Srimad Bhagavatam, how he was so attached, and Vidur eventually had to speak to him. He'd actually spoken to him many times, you'll find in Mahabharata. He spoke to Dhritarashtra very strongly many times, but eventually his words got Dhritarashtra out of home in Vanaprastha life, because Dhritarashtra's wife Gandhari, his first and principal wife, followed him to the forest. Akrura said to Dhritarashtra, "Over-attachment for one's close relatives is simply born of ignorance. Every creature in this world is born alone and dies alone. He experiences the results of his own good and evil deeds and in the end leaves the present body to accept another. The belief that one person is the relation of another is nothing more than illusion." So even if the wife is a pure devotee, you should set the example for those who are less advanced than you and your wife. If you think, "I'm a pure devotee and she's a pure devotee," but still you should set an example for those who are not. If you're actually a pure devotee, there are probably many more devotees in this world who think that they are pure devotees than there are actually pure devotees. And even if you're a pure devotee, if you don't take this step, then everything that you've learned and you've been teaching, you become a teacher, Bhakti Shastra teacher and all this, if you don't take this step, it will seem that you're just speaking theoretically, you haven't actually realized it, or maybe it'll seem like, well, it's not very important. It's in the books, but we don't follow that. Prabhupada writes that long hair is considered objectionable by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we don't follow that, and we don't follow this, and we don't follow that. It's just as if to say that, I know better. You know, Prabhupada, nice guy, but I know better. That's the implied message. If, after so many years of performing bhakti at home, one is still attached to home comfort, then it's like the example of rowing the boat while the boat is tied to the post on the riverbank. We're working hard, but that work is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. And yeah, you can be a senior devotee and respected in the society of devotees, and they'll be very nice. Everyone will look up to you and ask for blessings. You could be a grandparent and cuddle a little grandkiddies. And it's good for kids to have grandparents, but it's better for grandparents to not be attached. There's a conundrum. What's the solution? The man leaves, the woman stays at home. So don't just think of retiring, think of renouncing. It might seem very difficult to, and even cruel, to leave the wife who has faithfully served you for so many years. But maybe you thought that in your last life, and the life before that, and the life before that, and the life before that. At some point in time, we have to let go. Don't risk taking yet another birth due to attachment. How many times have you almost made it back to Godhead? And you came into this world thinking, this time I'll do it. And you go all the way. You're a nice devotee, practice seriously, have a nice wife, have nice children, nice family. But at the end, you fail to make the final step. How many more times is it going on? How many more times are we going to do this? Another point is that so many devotees, they have so much experience. They've practiced, they've chanted. This needs to be shared with a broader audience. It'll be very inspiring for younger devotees to see that these elders, they don't just... They may be teaching, teaching Bhakti Shastra and this and that, but to actually make that step, that will inspire juniors. Otherwise, no one wants to say it, maybe they don't even want to consciously think of it, but it will seem that, well, they're just attached. And then our preaching, what do we preach? We can't preach becoming detached from this material world, which is a necessary part of preaching if we're going to preach pure devotional service. We can't preach that because we're not doing it. And then we get the preaching, well, chant Hare Krishna and be materially happy also. This is very widespread in India. Our movement is very successful in recruiting many people who have the idea that we should chant Hare Krishna and be materially happy and have good positions and good jobs. I still didn't understand what a good job is because it seems to be oxymoronic, but it's a common term. We should have a good job, a good career, be respected in society, and that'll be good for preaching. And it seems to work. We get many people who join our movement who think that the perfection of life is to chant Hare Krishna and be materially successful. But who's going to show that? Who's going to practically show that, yes, we can go through all of this and go through it and come out of it? Who can preach? Who's going to preach all these verses in the Bhagavatam, which householders may be embarrassed to preach, but which they need to hear? Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. It's hard for grihasthas to preach this. That the family, the happiness in family life, which begins with sex, is simply insignificant. And who's going to listen to grihasthas saying this? Someone has to teach it. Who's going to preach? There's no happiness in this material world, so stop trying for it. Someone has to teach it. Everyone will say, well, someone else can do that. And everyone says, someone else can do that. And then who's going to preach it? And whoever does preach it is considered some kind of renegade. You should preach it. You should believe it. But you can't preach it because you don't believe it. And therefore you're stuck, not feeling ashamed. You can't just turn on shame. Where's the point? Where's the shame point? Where is it? Maybe some electrical current in some part of the brain to make you feel ashamed. But that won't... You can maybe do that with modern neurological techniques. You can inspire some temporary emotional state within the brain, but actual detachment comes from a deep sense of commitment to Krishna consciousness. That if one is deeply committed to Krishna consciousness, then one will automatically start to think of, what do I do next? What is the next step? Some devotees I see, maybe many, they can't really hear this. They might politely sit through the talk, but they can't really hear it or begin to imagine. They'll say, they're just too weak. They don't have the mental or spiritual strength. So, all right, you stay at home and chant Hare Krishna. Not all right, but anyway, something's better than nothing. Of course, you never know. Sometimes you see devotees who appear to be not so strong, and they get up and they get up and go. But it's understood. It's not going to be easy. It's never easy to make a big step in Krishna consciousness. Even Srila Prabhupada expressed feeling attachment. He expressed that it was so hard to take sannyas. He knows because he felt it, or at least he expressed that. He knows that it's hard, but still, having done it, he knew the benefit and he pushed others to do so. So who can do this actually? It's someone who throughout their life has cultivated the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, such as this text from the 7th canto, chapter 14, text 5, in the Narad Muni's description of ideal family life. Yavad artam upasino dehe gehe chapanditaha virakto raktavatta trenriloke naratanya set. While working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary, to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society, unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. One has to cultivate this spirit throughout life. I just quoted that verse, Labdva Sudurlabham. There's a companion verse. There are many similar verses. This Labdva Sudurlabham, one has attained the rare human form of life. One should act in such a way that one doesn't get born again. A companion verse, Nrideham Adyam Sulabham Sudurlabham Pravansu Kalpo Guru Karnadharam Mayanu Kulena Dabasvateritam Puman Bhavabdim Nataret Saatmaha. Krishna says that this human body is comparable to a boat which is suitable, strong enough for crossing the vast and dangerous ocean of material existence. It's not every boat that can cross over an ocean. The little, you blow that up, the little kids go in little, what's that called? Plastic boat, they go in the paddling pool. You can't cross an ocean with that. Or even with a tugboat, which is quite strong. Or a rowing boat. You can't cross the ocean. There has to be a suitable boat. So the human life, the human body is a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. But simply to have a boat isn't enough. One has to have an expert captain, and that implies a crew. So one has to have an expert guru to guide one, which implies association of devotees, suitable association. And you need favorable winds also. Sailing boat is suitable for crossing the ocean. Nowadays we have diesel-powered boats, atomic-powered submarines, and so many things. But the favorable wind is Krishna's instructions. So if we have all these advantages, but we fail to cross the ocean of material existence, Krishna says, it is just as if we are committing suicide. Having said all this, we should also consider premature renunciation. There are several of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are highly respected at the time, highly respected as grihasthas. They were doing very well as grihasthas, and they took sannyas, and it was expected that they would continue to shine as sannyasis because they were doing very well as grihastha devotees. But within a short time, they were seen to be unfit for that ashram and couldn't remain within it. They all went back, in one case to his wife and in other cases to other women. One of his first GBC members, he took sannyas from Srila Prabhupada, but after a short time, he said to Srila Prabhupada, I'm too attached. I can't do this. And Srila Prabhupada reinstated him in his family life and kept him as a GBC. So it was relatively peaceful, although the general term is vantashi. One who takes sannyas and goes back to his family is just like one who eats his own vomit. That term is in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, which wasn't published at the time. But Srila Prabhupada was very flexible with his disciples. He gave sannyas to young men, and it was seen that most of them did not maintain their vows throughout life. Srila Prabhupada compared giving sannyas to battlefield commission. When there's a battle going on, and the senior officers, or some of the several of the senior officers are killed right in the battle, but the fight has to go on. So the most senior officer present calls, "Hey, you, Private Joe, Private Jim, Private Ivan, or whatever your name is. Okay, now you're a sergeant. And Sergeant Darko, now you are a corporal or what, major or what." Well, you don't get done. Anyway, you're not fit, you're not trained, but we need leaders, someone who's got a little oomph and who's ready to take the responsibility. They have the sense, they want to do it, they're dedicated to the battle, they're dedicated to the army, they're dedicated to their country, they want to do it. They're not properly trained, they're not properly ready, they're not really fit for the job, but someone has to do it. Okay, now you are a sergeant, and he has to start ordering the troops. So it's called a battlefield commission. So Srila Prabhupada compared his giving sannyas to young men to a battlefield commission. It was required. However, in some cases, some devotees who took sannyas, and this was after, I'm thinking of several devotees who were highly respected as preachers, and gurus, and householders. They took sannyas, but they caused major disturbances by falling into illicit sex. And for a sannyasi, or a brahmachari, or a vanaprastha, any kind of sex life is illicit sex. It's only allowed in the grihastha ashram. So it might be that a man who is a very good grihastha devotee is still unfit for that vow of sannyas. So it shouldn't be whimsically rushed into. One should have the same kind of conviction that Srila Prabhupada expresses in his song, Vrindavani Bhajan, where Srila Prabhupada says, "I am sitting here alone in Vrindavan, and my family members are far away. And what is this family life? It's just like the foam on the waves. It comes and it goes." So he had a strong sense of detachment. He was ready for sannyas. Strong sense of detachment from his family and from everything material. And strong sense of wanting to serve his spiritual master's mission and uplift the conditioned souls. And that strong sense was apparent even as a grihastha when his family members were not very happy that instead of putting more time into building up the business and instead of giving them more money, he put a lot of time into publishing his Back to Godhead magazine and a lot of his money also. So his family members weren't very happy. But he felt, "I have to do this. It's the order of my spiritual master. That's more important than pleasing my family members." So clearly Srila Prabhupada was, he had this strong sense of detachment, even in his family life. Another quote, this is from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 14, text 5, purport. "Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas at an early age, it is not necessary for his devotees to follow him by also taking sannyas. One can stay a householder, but one must be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So here he's saying it's not necessary And the nuance is that at an early age, it's not so necessary. Writing to one of his friends from family, when Srila Prabhupada in his family life naturally had many friends. So one of them he wrote to, this is in 1975, Srila Prabhupada wrote to one of his old friends from Srila Prabhupada's Grihastha days. Srila Prabhupada wrote, his name was Dinanath N. Mishra. So again, anyone who's familiar with Indian culture knows that Mishra is a Brahmana name. Can you think of any well-known Brahmana of the name Mishra? Jagannath Mishra, Vishvambar Mishra, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada wrote to him, "Now you are in ripe old age, so you can accept vanaprastha life, which is your duty as you are born in a Brahmana family. According to our Vedic principle, a Brahmana is supposed to accept the four ashrams, namely Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Others do not accept sannyas, but a person who is a Brahmana must accept sannyas at the end of his life." So we see many devotees are very eager. Give me Brahmin initiation. I want Brahmin initiation. I want to show. I'm a Brahmin. But are you ready? You're going to be ready for this? This is what you're signing up for. If you're really serious about being a Brahmana and you just don't want a thread to show, I'm a senior devotee. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada. This is in India. He was speaking at a pandal program, a public program, in front of thousands of people in Hyderabad, South India, in 1972. Srila Prabhupada wrote, these are members of the public who Srila Prabhupada is addressing. He stated, oh, one point I should say also, many people were very impressed who were coming to Prabhupada's talks in Hyderabad. They were very impressed that Srila Prabhupada had spread Vedic civilization throughout the world and that Westerners were taken to Vedic civilization. So Srila Prabhupada said, "Our Vedic civilization is that drive away from home, go away from home, to take sannyas, to take vanaprastha, not to remain up to the last point of death." Usually we say the last point of life, but Srila Prabhupada said the last point of death as a family member, grandfather or great-grandfather. That is not our Vedic civilization. As soon as one is a little grown up, panchas ordvang vanang vrajit, he must get out from this griham andakupam. Griham andakupam. That means the blind well of family life. Srila Prabhupada said, if we discuss threadbare, it may be very unpalatable, but we have to discuss from Shastra what is griha. Griha, another word, it is called anganashrayam. Angana means wife. Here Srila Prabhupada says, angana means woman, ashray means protection, shelter. So Srila Prabhupada said, anganashraya means to live under the protection of one's wife. So Srila Prabhupada said, so Shastra recommends that you give up this Angan Ashrayam to go to the Paramahamsa Ashrayam. Then your life will be saved. Otherwise, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Griham Andakupam, if you keep yourself always in this dark well of so-called family life, then you'll never be happy. Atmapatam. That's from Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. Hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gato yadharim ashrayeta. Prahlad Maharaj is telling his father that you should give up this blind well of family life and go to the forest and take shelter of Krishna, which is just about the worst thing for Hiranyakashipu, the thing which would be the most displeasing thing for him to hear. So Srila Prabhupada explains, Atmapata means you'll never be able to, then your life will be saved. Otherwise, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Griham and the Kupam, if you keep yourself always in this dark well of so-called family life, then you'll never be happy. Atmapatam. Atmapatam means you'll never be able to understand spiritual life. Of course, not always, but generally. Generally, those who are too much attached to family life or extended family life, then society life, community life, national life, international life, they're all griham and kupam. All griham and kupam. So Prahlad Maharaj is advising you give up all this nonsense conception. Vanangato yadharim ashrayeta. Srila Prabhupada was speaking to pious Indians who were no doubt shocked to hear this. I know at least one, he told me that when he heard this, he came to Srila Prabhupada. Hearing Prabhupada's story, he said, after hearing you, I realized that, well, he said about his family life, he was a young man at that time, and Prabhupada advised him to continue with his business. But later, after Prabhupada left, that young man, who was no longer a young man, time takes its course, he left home and engaged fully in Krishna consciousness. So at least one person came out from that. What do you do? What are you practically going to do as a vanaprastha? Well, in India, there's huge preaching field. Hundreds of thousands of villages, ripe preaching field. If one has a little confidence in the message of Krishna, there's a huge, beautiful preaching field. But what about all of you? What are you going to do when you leave your family life to be vanaprastas? Well, here is a different situation, but there's definitely a lot of service to do in our temples, which are short of manpower, so they can use manpower also. Or if you have enough spiritual strength, you can take up preaching, town to town, village to village, whatever. There's plenty of service to do in our temples, just to keep the temples running on. So there is engagement. Srila Prabhupada, when he left home, he didn't have any obvious engagement. He engaged himself, but he first of all studied that League of Devotees. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have a worldwide society and there are plenty of things to do. You can go and live in Mayapur, Vrindavan, if you have the financial wherewithal to do so. Although, ideally, we should provide facilities for all the devotees. But anyway, if you're not ready for sannyas and husband and wife stay together, don't just be comfortable at home doing a little bhakti. You worked hard all your life to maintain your family. Now work hard, husband and wife together, for serving the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is what Srila Prabhupada did after retiring. There's so much work to do. So much. Every day people are going to hell, and we have the knowledge we need to share with them. I've been speaking a lot about the duties of men in this situation. As I, in the previous talk, I said that the instructions that Srila Prabhupada had given about vanaprastha life are clearly, specifically aimed at men and particularly Brahmana men. What about the women? Well, they should also be renounced, but in a different way. Women in old age, with or without their husband, they're not meant for dressing in bright, attractive clothes and wearing lots of jewelry and flirting, even eating nice food. There is a term, tapasvini. At home, in old age, women can be very renounced and set the example for a future generation, for the others around you. In this way, women can be gurus for all around them by showing an ideal example. Not as Prahlada Ananda Maharaj was quoting this morning, Shreya Swadharma Viguna Paradharma Svanushtita. that is very wrong and very dangerous to try to do another duty. So instead of trying to imitate sannyasis charging all over the world, women can preach at home by their practical example. A related point, but this talk's long enough for most of our attention spans. Sticking to a post, even within the Society for Krishna Consciousness, hanging on to a position until we drop dead. There are younger devotees. Life will go, they can take charge of all these responsibilities. And anyway, you're going to die. You're going to go to Krishna sooner or later. So let them take it up. That's another point about sticking to the post. Please don't use this talk to go up to senior devotees and bash them. What are you doing, Stuart? What are you doing staying at home? Please don't do that. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpaturubhyas cha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakang padaya nipaptya kritva cha kakushatam etad aham bravimi. Hey, sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat Gauranga Chandra Charne Kurutana Ragaha Parivadatu Jano Yata Tatava Nanu Mukarona Vayang Vichare Amaha Hari Rasa Madira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama Hari Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.